The Detroit Opera is closing out its season with an opera that first premiered back in 1985, but remains a relevant and important story to tell today. It's called X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X. The story begins with Michigan roots back in 1931 in Lansing, Michigan, at the childhood home of Malcolm X. The first scene takes place during a local meeting of Marcus Garvey's Universal Improvement Association concerning two white supremacist groups terrorizing black people in Michigan. Malcolm's father is announced as murdered by a white mob while the children are taken away from their mother. The story unfolds from there, and it will be staged at the Detroit Opera on May 14th, 19th, and 22nd. I wanted to dive deeper into this story and why the Detroit Opera wanted to bring this production back to the stage. So joining me live in studio is Yuval Sharon, Artistic Director of Detroit Opera. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
We also have the honor of having Anthony Davis, the composer of X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, great to be here, Ryan.
Absolutely incredible to have you. Thanks for sharing your time. I always say between me and Anthony Davis, we have a Pulitzer.
I thought you were going to say a unibrow, but I don't have that.
Thank God it's radio and no one can confirm that. I do want to start at the beginning of this production for you because, as I mentioned, it goes back to 1985. Still being staged today, but take me back to the origin of why you wanted to put this story on the stage in the first place.
Well, I think the idea, the genesis of the idea of doing X came from my brother was in a play called Al-Haj Malik, playing the role of Malcolm X in a play. And he came backstage after I met him backstage after the play, and he said, told me I should do he said, well, you should do a musical about Malcolm X because in the autobiography, there are all these references to music. And music sort of, you know, could kind of tell the story because the parallel of the development of, you know, jazz from the late 40s to the avant-garde of the 1960s, et cetera. So I thought about it and I said, you know, I think it's a cool idea, but I think it's an opera. I think Malcolm is a tragic hero. His story works that way and that it could be told through opera. And so that was the genesis of it. And then we approached Talani Davis, our cousin, about writing the libretto. And I'd worked with Talani a lot in the past. We'd done shows just with poetry and music. We did a lot of things at the Public Theater and other places in New York. So that was the beginning of the whole adventure.
When you bring up the idea of jazz, the avant-garde scene going into the 60s, I guess in my mind, I think a lot of people's minds, they would say, I'm not used to even thinking about that in the context of an opera, but you said this could work. We could actually blend some of these things in with more operatic compositions.
Yeah, well, that was the exciting thing, was to discover the ways in which conventions and ideas from jazz could be interpreted into and work in opera. For example, when we introduced the character Street in Boston, who kind of initiates Malcolm into the street life in Boston, and where he became known as Detroit Red. So I was using a lot of blues. It was all the music is really a variation of the blues in different forms. And I was thinking a lot about the jump blues and Louis Jordan of the late 1940s and Ellington and Mingus and all that great music that and that sort of capturing that period of time through the music.
Mm-hmm. I have a small taste of what this opera sounds like. So people listening at home, they're like, okay, that sounds cool, but let me actually hear some of it. Let's play a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. So you can hear that jazz very present. I mean, it's not something that's hidden in the compositions that you put together.
Oh no, you know that what you played was a confrontation with Elijah Muhammad. The scene where he finally confronts Elijah about his improprieties, and then he's actually silenced by Elijah Muhammad at the end of the scene. And I'm very interested in the idea of using rhythm and rhythmic structures to propel the action, so that you feel that, you know, the action, the opera comes from, is embedded in the rhythm. And the forward momentum, this sense of the drive. I really wanted the opera to have a sense of drive all the way through.
Going back to when it first premieres in 1985, was there any, I don't know, shock and awe or surprise about turning Malcolm X's life story into an opera? Were people taken aback by that, or what was the response?
Yeah, I think there was much more surprise I think part of it too was, you know, what was going on in that period of time. I mean, 1985 was a year after Jesse Jackson's election campaign in 1984, and when he hired Farrakhan's bodyguards, and when he came, so there was a lot of controversy around that, whether the Nation of Islam was anti-Semitic, or whether Malcolm was anti-Semitic, which was ridiculous to say that Malcolm was. So I think there was, a lot of controversy around the subject matter.
And I'm not going to say that you have a history of bringing controversial things to the opera, but you bring stories that traditionally are not told at the opera. You know, looking back at Amistad, at the Lyric Opera of Chicago in 1997, or telling the story of the Central Park Five, which is a production that won you that Pulitzer Prize for Music back in 2020. Talk to me about why you're making sure that these stories are finding their way to the stage.
Well, I think part of my purpose, and I was always interested in politics as a kid, and when I was really interested in seeing how I could have an impact, you know, how I can have an impact on as an artist and reveal and talk about these stories that are so critical to where we are today, and Malcolm X certainly is that, and then Central Park Five, you know, and Amistad, because it's trying to understand where we as Black people and also as Americans, where we come from, what's the origins of, you know, what's happening now, and also, you know, hopefully instill some hope too, and the idea that we can overcome the adversity that's always been there. So I think that opera can reveal in kind of emotional depth what is going on in terms of, you know, racial conflicts, in terms of the emotions of, you know, when you know, the Central Park Five were falsely accused of rape and assault, and, you know, and the consequences of that. So I think in music you can kind of promote this, a kind of empathy where the audience identifies with the people on the stage, and so that you can bridge a lot of the gap between what people think and how they might dismiss something, and then reveal that the emotional stakes behind it.
It might be tough to convince someone to read that long form article, watch that documentary, but maybe communicating through stage production, movement, sound, music, you could activate a whole different group of people, a whole different generation that may not even know this story.
Well, I think so, and I think music can be seductive, mm-hmm. and you know, so that's part of it, because there's it tries to wears down the resistance that people have, and they can feel in the music what's going on, and even though it can be subconscious, and so that's something I really think about in music, and that's one of the reasons I'm so drawn to it, because there's a power in music to reach beyond just the facts and just what you know, just the raw data of what's going on, and see and find the emotional capstones of it that are part of the whole story.
Anthony Davis, the composer of X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X, which is coming to the Detroit Opera, being staged May 14th, the 19th, and 22nd. We also have Yuval Sharon, the artistic director of Detroit Opera. And we've been talking about the staying power of this story from 1985 to now. You chose to close out your season with the Detroit Opera with this production. What was the power for you? What was that seductive nature of this production for you to close out your season with it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many things I could point to that I find so inspiring and seductive in what Anthony and Tulani and Kip created. But we also have this opportunity with opera. What I would add to what Anthony just said so beautifully, I would just add that when you represent a story on stage, you get to offer a picture of another potential outcome of the story, right? So if when we watch the Spike Lee biopic of Malcolm X, you know, everything's historically accurate. You know, you really get a sense of the moment in time. You get a sense of history. The costumes look from that period. Everything ends up feeling like a, you know, kind of a look back. And when you create a new production, you have this opportunity to invite your community to look forward and to think about the future. And that's something that the director of this production, Robert O'Hara, took very seriously, this notion that we're still just at the beginning of understanding Malcolm X's importance to us as a society and to civilization. And instead of looking back, let's look forward and let's think about his meaning for the future in a way that is deeply connected with different artistic paths in terms of Afrofuturism or in terms of maybe some of Anthony's other musical influences that that are just thinking about, you know, a different kind of futuristic imagining for what American society can be, ideally a more just society, a more inclusive society, one in which representation on stage is not uncommon, but in fact is absolutely the necessity of what it means to go to the theater in the first place, is to see ourselves represented. So I think all of that makes it vitally important to be presenting this piece, especially now.
It had a big impact back in 1985, and it seems like it fits your artistic mission for the Detroit Opera today. Talk a little bit about how this puzzle piece goes into your vision for Detroit Opera, because we're watching it change right before our eyes and kind of welcome in a new contemporary audience and a more diverse audience.
Absolutely. But I will say that a big part of it really is, you know, the story of Malcolm X is so inspiring to so many people and is in many ways draw enough. But beyond that, I'm so in love with Anthony's score. The music, I think, also points towards what the future of opera can really be because of its absolute unique, you know, the hybrid nature of it is never, it never feels disparate. It always feels unified, and that's really the genius of the music making and the writing for the music, is that it really is an American opera. Even when you wonderfully hear some influences of kind of maybe modernist music and whatnot, but it's Anthony took all of these different influences and made it something truly his own, and that points towards, I think, the future of this art form, the future of music, really. But I would love to see opera embrace all of the different popular music that, but not in a way that's cheap and not in a way that is kind of superficial, but to actually infuse it in the storytelling, infuse it into an entity, a full experience. And in that way, I think Anthony is really a model. And so I do hope that the future music that we present that's new, and it is so wonderful to be with a living composer. Sometimes people forget that operas are still being written. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to know that operas are indeed still being written, and like all artistic endeavors, we're looking towards new horizons. And I'm so excited about the notion that opera doesn't have to be an art form about the past, but is actually looking ahead to what is the future of humanity.
With the Detroit Opera, I'm really impressed at some of the talent that's starting to come into town. I mean, there's obviously a long history of that, but I've just noticed in the past couple of years, you know, someone like Anthony Davis and being part of this production, Robert O'Hara, who Tony-nominated director, recently helmed Slave Play, is directing this version of X. Talk to me about getting those talents here in Detroit, and for people who may not realize, you know, these are big names that are coming in and doing big time productions.
Absolutely. And I wish I could tell you a little bit about what the set and the video and the lighting and the costumes are all going to look like, but you'll see it in the press soon, and you'll say, I have got to see that, because really it is such an astonishing feat, artistic feat, that Robert and his team have created for this. But that's also, for me, the appeal of opera is this notion that there's so many different artists involved in making it. It's a large scale collaboration, and when you do a piece that is at this caliber of excellence, like Malcolm X, you do attract unbelievable artists that want to be part of it. Devon Tynes, who is portraying Malcolm X, is to me one of the finest singers alive today. And this role fits him so perfectly. And the fact that he's doing it here in Detroit is such a gift, I think, to this community. And I really hope everyone takes advantage of that opportunity to hear him live. And to, you know, I do think that that's something I'd like to see us build on, is the notion that because we do things differently here in Detroit, that can really attract, I think, the brightest talent because it's an opportunity to do things different.
Anthony, I want to toss it back to you. You know, you've all talked a little bit about getting more styles of music involved in opera, seeing more diversity. In your time working as a composer, what have you seen change? Like, where were we when you started, and where are we now? Are you seeing these things happen where you can be bolder with your musical choices? People are doing more courageous things or trying to expand the boundaries of what an opera can be?
I think it's really jazz changed. I remember when I was first doing music, and I remember doing a piece, my first pieces for orchestra. And, you know, there was some resistance because, you know, I think musicians today are exposed to more things. Classical music is less than an isolated thing. You know, and you know, people listen to hip hop and funk and bebop, you know, and as well as classical music. So it's not just, you know, consigned to the, you know, the categories of the record bin, you know. So I think that's really healthy. And I think what X implies is that we're coming together of a new, what it demands of the artist also is coming together with embracing a broader aesthetic, a broader understanding of music, and that music is not, you know, an exclusive thing that pushes other things aside. That we can bring all this to the table, and I think musicians today are more than willing and also I think eager to meet those challenges. Yeah.
I think of so many jazz musicians that would always push back against that title alone, you know, the idea of jazz. They say, it's music. I don't want to call it anything if I don't have to. And now we're finally seeing these lines of music just blur together where genres are not so important anymore. As a composer, are you excited to see that? And what are the benefits for us as the audience when those boundaries start to drop away?
Yeah, well, what you say reminds me of Duke Ellington, who never used the word jazz. He always said, "Don't just it's music. Mm-hmm. There are two types of music, good and bad."
We used to call it syncopation. Now yeah. They call it jazz.
Yeah. So I remember UB Blake giving a lecture when I was a student at Yale. He was almost 100 at that time, saying that when a young woman in a class asked him about jazz, he said, "Young women shouldn't use that word." So I really understood that, you know, from that perspective. But I thought I'm excited that you know, we've come to a point where all that matters is the quality of the music and how it tells the story, mm-hmm. and how it relates to the story, mm-hmm. and what it does to make that story real for people, mm-hmm. and that we can use all our musical resources. And not think, oh, wow, is that serious music or is that what? You know, it's that little critic that's in the back of your mind, you know. So, fortunately for me, when I wrote X, I decided to turn that critic off. I said, he's off. I'm not thinking about him anymore. And it was a very free space I found, you know, just writing the opera and then realizing I could draw on all my musical experiences and all the music that had influenced me, mm-hmm. without thinking about, oh, well, what will someone think about that, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, you know, because mm-hmm. I think that it's all about the visceral response to the music and, in fact, how the music relates intimately with a story.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
Ryan, I just wanted to add that that's what drew me to the piece when I first heard it on recording. The sense of freedom that you hear in the music, the sense of just the fantastic array of colors and influences, it defies the notion of opera, and because of that, it is a perfect opera. You know, it's like it's not trying. You know, Anthony wasn't trying to do a 19th century Italian work. He was trying to create a piece that really spoke to him and inspired him, and I think it inspired unbelievable music, and that comes through so clearly from the first note to the last.
And it's obvious with the longevity that it's had. Again, closing out the Detroit Opera season, May 14th, May 19th, May 22nd. X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X. And Anthony Davis, I'll give you the last word on this. You know, you've lived with this work for a long time. I'm curious, what do you hope the story of Malcolm X, how it resonates with people? What's your hope beyond the music, but the actual story and the person that you're trying to tell the story of?
Well, I hope that they're ready for a journey to go through this whole voyage that Malcolm goes through. You know, the story itself of Malcolm's life and he represented by the different names he even took, you know, from Malcolm Little to Detroit Red to Malcolm X to El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. I think it's an incredible odyssey. And to think that, you know, and to think that you can kind of identify with that and understand, you know, where he ended up and also what it means for us as a people, you know, that to see this kind of triumphant story that of transformation.
That is Anthony Davis, composer of X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X, also joined by Yuval Sharon, friend of the show at this point, and artistic director of Detroit Opera. X will be staged at the Detroit Opera May 14th, 19th, and 22nd. Yuval, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Ryan.
Anthony, an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ryan.